Access number 29049, Mr. Frank Tolley, Reel 1. Could you tell me when and where you were born, Mr. Tolley?
In Tipton, Staffordshire, T-I-P-T-O-N, Tipton, Staffordshire, on the 20th of July, 1921.
And could you tell us a bit about your background, your family background?
Yes, yes. My father was a railway signalman, and I was envied very much by my school pals. I could go into his signal box, and I've been in most of them from Coventry to Stafford on this tower line. Yes, it was quite good.
So he was in steady employment?
Yes, yes, he was, yes.
It's a good job,
yes,
then.
Yes, but I remember well the general strike, I think it was 1926, not quite sure, 1926. I thought it was great to have Dad home, but I remember Mother crying on one occasion. Dad had been to the branch headquarters of the National Union of Railway Men, and he comes home with a £2 bag of sugar and a quarter of tea. That's all. My maternal grandpa, who was also a railway signalman, but he didn't come out. He helped us a lot financially during that time. Yeah, and then in the end, of course, the miners went back. The railwaymen came out for the miners. The miners went back, and when the railwaymen went back, they went back for less pay than they got when they went on strike. That was how life was in the 20s, to a certain extent.
Had your father served in the First World War?
Yes, he was a Royal Marine. Yes, yes, he did. He joined up for 12 years, went in 1916, and was discharged medically unfit in 1919 due to, I think, he developed pneumonia. He was on HMS Coventry. They were patrolling the fjords in and the North Sea, and he remembers he went on duty, wasn't very well, didn't feel very well at all, and he passed out, and the next thing he remembers, he was being carried down to sick bay, and he said, "You haven't got my cap, or I haven't got my hat, or something." This is just things that he told me that I remember, and this is that's how it was. He was demobbed. He was only 7 stone when he was demobbed. He was a 6-footer, yeah. But and yet he lived to be 91.
Yeah. Now, what was your childhood like? What do you remember of your childhood in Tipton?
Yes. Well, like everybody else, we were very poor. There's no getting away from it. Very, very poor indeed. I used to go to my maternal grandmother's, stay from school on Friday and stay with her until Sunday. This was being Prince End, not more than a mile from our home, and Gran used to take me home, and she had Sunday lunch with us. School.
Yeah, tell us about education.
Yes, education. I thought it was fantastic, considering I went to an elementary school, and I did get so-called scholarship when I was 9 to go to Tipton Central, now Tipton Grammar School, and I only went there for 3 months, and my father was upgraded, so we moved out of Stourbridge County into Worcestershire, went to live in Oldbury, so I went back to elementary school.
Oldbury?
Oldbury.
And that's
West, O-L-D-B-U-R-Y. Oldbury. Yes, that was in what is now West Midlands, Worley, Oldbury.
But it was Worcestershire.
Yes, that was Worcestershire, yes.
Now, so how did you do at school with this changing?
I was glad, very short term, I was glad that I didn't have to do homework anymore. Imagine doing homework on the corner of a kitchen table. All the meal things were on there, and because we lived in two up, two down, the wash house was across the yard, and the loo was about 20 or 30 yards up the road, up the back way that we shared with two other families, two other houses.
That's at Tipton.
That was at Tipton, Prince's End Tipton, yes. Then when we moved to Worcestershire, my parents had a corporation house. That was much better. Yes. And I went to two schools there, the Rood End Junior School, and from there went to Bristol Hall Senior School, and we have 40, 45, 46 in a class. And a whack of that cane on the desk brought everybody to attention. We had discipline in those days. There's no shadow of doubt about that. But at the central school, doing homework, it was bonfire night. We were given by our form master, who was also our French master, 20 nouns to learn. Next morning, or next lesson, which was the next day in French, goes around the class. It comes to me, ruler. But did I know that it was règle? And so I was one of four or five that went out in front of the class. Again. That, he said, I'll teach you little savages to be at a bonfire and not doing your homework. Now, whether Mr. Lamb was a Catholic, whether Mrs. Lamb had had a headache the night before, or whether he was justifying being and intent upon being a good French master, I don't know. But in that light, I suspect that it was the last of all, that he was doing his best for us as well as himself.
Were there any particular subjects you liked or disliked?
Oh, yes. I liked history very much. I was quite good at maths and English. The only time I got 100% was in English grammar. Amazing in an elementary school. But they were very thorough, very thorough indeed upon English grammar. And, analysing sentences, subjects, predicate, and all that. Yes, and sport. I was never good enough for the school cricket or soccer teams. We didn't play rugby. The only time I represented the school was in the tug of war. I was captain of the tug of war team.
Any subjects you didn't like?
I wasn't very good at science. Chemistry and that. And yes, strangely, my elder son, he got an award when he was at medical school for pharmacy, and forget how much now, but he got a bursary for the rest of his time until he qualified.
Now, outside of school, did you have any big hobbies or interests?
Well, cycling. I was very keen indeed upon cycling. And
so what would you do? Were you in a club? Cause of
yes, there were a lot of clubs. Yeah, but before I was in a club, I had to go out and get the first job I could when I left school at 14. We needed the money at home. So I went to the Maple Dairy Company as an errand boy. I went to go into an office, but I couldn't wait for another week or a fortnight. I was told I'd got to go out and get a job.
This is when you're 14, so that's 1935.
14. Yeah, that's right.
And yes. What did you do as an errand boy? Were you delivering milk or was it dairy products?
No, groceries. Actually, I wrote some poetry for my grandchildren about that, because, you know, when they were young, it's all about being bored and whatnot. I'll let you have a copy of that afterwards. It was 54 hours a week, for 10 bob a week, which I reckon now is worth about £22-23 a week. And you were lifting 100 weight casks of butter from floor to table. 100, you know, that's 100 weight, 112 pounds, that's what, 50 kilos more or less, and 60 pound cheeses. At 14, this was. And for the first month, so I didn't know whether I was coming off. I felt so blooming tired, you know. And yet, this was. And when I wasn't delivering errands or labouring in the shop like that, because I wasn't behind the counter, the manager would get a basket, he'd fill it full of single oddments, stick it in my arm, say, now go out and sell that. And I'd go knocking on doors up the side streets from the shop. So bloody hard life, it really was. I hated it, but you know, it was drilled into you. Or a rolling stone gathers no moss. You stay at the job that you put into. I mean, big mistake it was, but.
How long did you stay with the grocer?
For nearly 4 years. Oh, it would be 4 years. And then I went to one of the tube investment companies. One of the tube investment companies, Ackles and Pollock. They made tubing, drawn steel tubing. And I worked there for...
What as?
A progress clerk. A works clerk to begin with. And I was there, I suppose, for about 10 months before I volunteered to join the RAF. That would be in 1940... when was it? I was called up, I think, in... Yes, volunteered in May 40 and called up in August 40.
Now, what was the work like as a work clerk?
As a work clerk? Well, it was collecting the timesheets from around the operators and analysing their figures to pass on to the costs, I suppose, the departmental cost clerk.
Now, how did you like this work compared to the groves and the Ehrenberg stuff?
That was all right because I had Saturdays and Sundays off. And also, I had a friend who was a cinema operator, and I used to go along at night time, help him, and eventually I got a job as a part-time cinema operator, which was, it helped me quite a bit. I had that for myself. I didn't turn that up to my mother. I kept that.
And it now was... Tell me about that. What was 1939 to 1940 as well, was it?
Yes, that'd be... yes. About 41. Projectionist, yes. 41. Yes, 1941. And...
Wouldn't be in the RAF in 1941,
though. That's right. It was earlier than that, wasn't it? Yeah. Of course it was. Actually, I was doing it in the RAF in 1941, too.
Yeah. Now, tell me, what was it like as a part-time projectionist at the local cinema?
It was all right. I would go straight from work and at 6 o'clock. And I'd finish there by 10:30. Go home, go to bed, get up.
And what was it? What were you actually doing?
I actually operated in due course. I was rewinding the films, the reels, and where they broken, putting I forget the name of the stuff that we used. What was it? No,
doesn't matter.
No. Might come to him a bit later on.
But you were joining it back together?
Yes, doing that. And changing the carbons, you know, they were burning carbons that they had inside. And looking for the changeovers. You can still see the changeovers now on films. A little cross comes and then... You change from one machine to the other, not like that when you see the cross. Yes.
And you enjoyed it?
Oh, yes, yes.
You
oh
got
yes,
to see the films as well, I presume.
Oh, yes, so yes, yes. Oh, yes, I can remember quite a lot about the films in those days. I wish I'd saved the stills they used to be put in every week of the films that was being shown. And then they were thrown away afterwards. I saved a lot for a long time. I wish I'd kept them there. They'd be worth a fortune. But it's just how things go. Boy's Own Magazine, that my eldest son used to have. I saved a lot of those. I gave them to him. I don't know whether he still has them, but they'd be worth something now.
Now, what about the outbreak of war? What do you remember of the day war broke out?
The day war broke out, my wife said to me, no, well, I was also in the St. John Ambulance Brigade. I joined the St. John Ambulance Brigade.
Before the war?
Before the war, yes.
Well, let's do that first, yes, then. Tell me about that.
Yes, yes. When I was 17, so that would be 38, would it be? 38.
Yep.
Yeah. Well, I think it was 37, actually, when I joined. You're supposed to be 18 when you joined, but I joined. I used to go on Sunday evenings to what was then Queen Victoria Hospital, Birmingham, worked in the casualty ward, and on one occasion I helped set somebody's arm, he fractured his arm, and
wasn't that quite a way to go to Birmingham for you?
No, because we lived in Langley. The bus services were very...
I thought you were in Oldbury.
In Oldbury, yes. Well, Oldbury, Langley, where we lived, Langley was Oldbury. Langley was a suburb of Oldbury.
Sorry. Yeah.
Like Sailors for Trafford, yes. And...
So it was easy to get in there.
Oh, yes.
Now,
yes,
tell me
yes.
about what you...
It was very good. And of course, during the week, you could volunteer to go to cinemas and stand at the back.
Now, tell me about your training. You must have been trained for first aid, at least.
Oh, yes, yes, yes.
What first aid training did they give you?
Better, I believe, than it is now to pass your exams. Oh, yes. You learn all the bones in the body. You learn a little how to diagnose, how to treat anybody fainting or breaking a limb, you know, snapping them up. And I only had to do that once, and that was many, many years ago, something like 20, 30 years ago, down at church, down at St. Paul's Church. But...
Now, what about what would you do when you went to the hospital, Queen Victoria's Hospital?
Well, I say you would be there lackeying, you know, perhaps do some cleansing, some cleaning, and washing up used instruments. And that type of thing. And
what about when you were at the back of cinemas or sports events?
Yes, yes. Well, you were just standing there watching the films. It was a free look at the films. I think only twice did somebody feel sick, and I was able to sit them down, and I had salvolatile. You carry salvolatile with you for use of smelling salts. And a bottle of water, and that sort of thing. Yes.
Now you were going on to tell me what happened the day war broke out.
Oh yes, I can't remember much about it. I was then in the ARP in Smethwick, next to Albury, and where I worked.
The ward actually. You were in the ARP before the war started.
Yes, 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 yes. In the ambulance, in the first aid part. Yes.
Now, what did you do? Tell us what you did.
As my father, nothing very much at all. Flirting with the girls mostly. You know, there were.
Where was the ARP set up then?
In where I was. It was in Smethwick, St Paul's Road, Smethwick, I think that was it, by the Empire Cinema. This was in a garage, in a sales car sales place. That's what I remember of that. And then
how had you been recruited to the ALP?
Well, because they wanted people from St John Ambulance Brigade to join them, and so being young and keen and a chance to meet girls, I suppose. it was that, more or less. And then it came to, I was 19.
So you don't remember the outbreak of war at all?
Not, I can remember hearing Neville Chamberlain saying on the radio. Remember that. And
and how did you react? What did you think? What did
What did I think? Well, it was something that you've been thinking about years, not years before, but when I was working at the Maypole, thought the war would be then. It was when Italy invaded Abyssinia, and we all had our hair cut short back and sides, because we knew that eventually we would be in the forces. We knew that it was coming, because at school there was all this talk about the League of Nations, and several of the teachers had been trench bound during the war, and they were very much pacifists, and they didn't want us to be growing up to do as they had to do, just as we don't want it to happen to the kids now.
And did their views affect you at all at that time?
Yes, everything that you learned a lot from teachers' reactions and teachers' ideas and thoughts, just as at home they were more or less like second parents. They were guides. There was no getting away from it, and it was sir all the time. It was sir. Even I remember one occasion.
But you didn't have teachers in 1930. No, you'd been out of school 4 or 5 years.
Yes, retracting in Abdi, going back at school, because you were asking about the ARP, how did I feel about that? You know, I said, we thought it was coming. We thought the war was coming. And then I went back to say at school about, I'm getting all this mixed up for you, aren't I?
No, you're all right. Yeah, don't worry about it.
And so it was just a matter of...
Did you think you'd be involved then?
Oh, yes.
In 1939?
Yes.
Because you were already, 18?
That's so, yes. And I remember upsetting my mother by saying that, so I've got to do something. If Jerry comes here, if Jerry gets here, if he wins here, I don't want to be around. I want to be dead. You know, that really upset her. So I was given permission to go and volunteer. So I went to volunteer for the Navy.
Now, when was that?
That was in 1940.
So what about the first year of the war then?
The first year of the war, so was in... I was working at the Ackerman Pollock. At the tube works, yes. And
now, how did the war affect your life in that first year? Was rationing a big thing?
Yes, rationing came in. Yes, of course. But I can't remember much about the rationing.
Okay. What about air raid precautions? I mean.
Yes. There is Anderson air raid shelters. I remember.
Did you have one at your house?
Oh yes, I remember helping Dad to dig a hole and to erect this.
Now, can you tell us a bit more about that? Because people don't know what they are now.
Yes.
There's not many left.
Yes.
What? How did you install it, and what was it like when you got it up?
They're shaped more or less like Nissen huts, you know, corrugated sheeting that came
round
like that, you see. And they would be about six feet high before you get, or was it 6 feet from center to floor to base? Yes, I think that was it. Yes. And it was nut and bolted together. Yeah.
Yeah. Did you cover it with earth or?
Yes, covered the sides. Yes. I think the top. Can't remember whether we did cover it all completely or whether the top was just visible from the ground.
Now, what was it like inside one of these things?
It was all right. We got sitting accommodation rather than lying. There were. I had three brothers, besides my parents, and I had my paternal grandmother living there half of the year. She used to swap between us and my dad's sister. And but Gran wouldn't get into the shelter. She couldn't go down. She used to go into the coal place, and when there's a raid on, just go into the coal place.
Now, what about the blackout? How strict was that?
Oh, it was. It was very, very strict indeed. And to make it more so, in the cities, they had along the pavements. Kerosene lamps or kerosene pots, which they lit, and it threw out volumes of smoke. And I've often wondered since how much of that went to towards contribution of lung cancer. You don't know. It's never been mentioned. That's just been an idea in my head. Who would light them? Well, the corporation, the AI. It'd be the air raid wardens, I would think. The air raid wardens.
What was it like when they were running these smoke protectors? Well, yes. Burning. Was it tar or what?
Well, it was kerosene, whatever kerosene is. That's what they call them, kerosene lamps. And this thick black smoke came out. It was to create a fog, I suppose. But.
And what about you at home? And what about the blackout? Did your mother do that, or did you do it?
Well, I did. My dad did it too. We helped put up. We had brown paper down the windows, and it was very airy fairy. We didn't have much money at all. We couldn't do anything very elaborate. As a lot of people couldn't in those days.
Now,